Conversations with Maitreya, May 17, 2003.
Good morning, everyone. This is Maitreya. Welcome to our room. This is the room that reveals the last revelation from God. We have brought the latest revelation from God and unified our religions together as one. And now this is presented to humanity as the eternal divine path or revelation of the seven seals. And we invite everybody to go to our website, which is posted or will be posted in this room again and again. It is www.maitreya.org. In that website, you can see, hear, and watch everything that has come through our mission, and it teaches you exactly what this revelation is all about. We used to come here and give discourses and talk about the mission and the revelation, but the most important thing is for everybody to know, and everybody who is in the mission or is connected to us, let everybody know that the last revelation of God is on earth, and now everybody is obligated to go, to search, to knock, to read, to understand the teaching, and see what a marvelous thing God has done for humanity, and how no religion is separate from another, and how we can put all now together and see the plan of God and come on board and help this plan to manifest itself on earth. Of course, this plan needs the people who are called elect, the people who really have gone through the eternal divine path in many lifetimes and have reached a point, have no desire but serve God with all their heart, mind, and spirit. They are not interested in their ego, they are not interested in this world, they are not an ego trip, and they are psychologically balanced and are willing to do everything that possible to bring to bring this earth to divinity and create an environment that everybody can grow and manifest themselves in the highest level possible. So this revelation is the greatest thing that's happening on earth right now. You have been talking about this mission and this revelation for the last 22 years, and now is the time for you all come search, meditate, read, and come here and talk to me. Talk to me about what is your questions, what are your concerns, what do you want to talk about the mission, what part do you think you haven't got the answer for. And of course there are few questions that cannot be answered, questions like, does God exist? Of course, though clearly shows yes, he does, because he said he will do things and he did them, therefore he does exist. And the greatest way you can know God exists is by direct experience with God, and that is possible through meditation, chanting, dancing, understanding the teaching, and meditating, and eventually realizing really God exists, you do not exist, and you and God are one. Then you have no doubt that God exists. There are questions that cannot be answered, but there are other questions that easily can be answered. I hope you all meditated last week and read our teachings. If you have come to this room with a lot of things you want to talk to me about, so I'll let you go ahead and raise your hand or grab the mic and tell me, you know, what is in your mind and what you want to talk about. This is a conversation room, so we're going to try to have it between just friends that are talking about this mission. That's why probably those who are not familiar with the mission, you know, they're going to have a hard time to understand what is going on a little bit. But we have to encourage everybody to go to the website and study them, and all of you out there, we will have to get people to go to the website to read this teaching, to understand the revelation, and they realize that their religion is okay, but it is not the last, or it is not the best, or it is not the highest. The only thing is the best and the highest, and all that is the revelation of the eternal divine path. Welcome to the Mission of Maitreya conversation room. This room is from the Mission of Maitreya, which has revealed the revelation of the seven seals. And if you want to know about them, go to our website and read about them. The whole idea is that all religions of the world have come from one God, and when you put them together, you see the whole picture. And therefore, it is the duty of every human, man, woman, child, to realize that God has sent out this revelation and be open to this new teaching that is explained to our website very clearly. The revelation is very simple, and the power of it is incredibly great, and God has called everybody to come and study them. Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Yeah, good morning, Shalom. As you know, for many years before I discovered your mission, I was a student of the Essene teachings. And for those who aren't familiar with the Essenes, they were a sometimes called a sect that existed in the pre-Christian era. They had many parallels to the to Maitreya's mission in that they formed communities of light. They had a place that was their, or you might say their place of higher learning called Qumran, where they gathered up a great library and instructed their leadership. I guess that could be compared to your facility there in New Mexico. I'm just wondering if you see any parallels between the Essenes' mission and what they try to accomplish in your mission. Now, I see a few myself, but I was just wondering if you were aware of what the Essenes were about and how that relates to what we're doing today.
I'm sure you know that Essenes were the Jewish sect that they wanted to purify the Jewish religion. Do you know where they used to live?
Well, they had many communities. The communities, for instance, in Mount Carmel, in the what's now known as the Nazarene or Nazareth area. At that time, there was no village of Nazareth, but that was northern Israel. Those communities of light were family communities, and they also had their elite community at Qumran, the famous Qumran community.
And you know that most probably that Christ himself was a Essene who came from one of those communities. And this community is trying to purify Judaism, and they were very strict in following the law and purify themselves, and they had a lot of beautiful teaching, and very big part of the teaching of Christ came from them, and they were family oriented, based on, you know, purity and marriage and community, and they tried to follow as close the original teaching as possible. Of course, they didn't have the eternal divine path, but they had many good laws to follow, and we can see communities all through history that tried to purify themselves and bring some kind of a environment that is good for soul and spirit and to progress toward greater things. And you can find the same kind of a communities in, for example, Buddhists. Buddha also brought the teaching of, you know, Sangha and Dharma. Sangha means community, Dharma means the inner nature in this community. Many communities even here formed last, you know, 50 years in the United States that are trying to do it and all that. So, the community is a very powerful way for the people to progress physically, mentally, and spiritually. But to this point, nobody had an exact blueprint of what is a community of light. And that is now the eternal divine path. Here, the many people, they were close, they were following a lot of our teaching people without knowing it is eternal divine path. And Essenes also followed very close to what we call the eternal divine path, the communities of light. Of course, the difference to this point is, for example, everybody knew that what the eternal divine path is then. Did the Essenes really knew eternal divine path? And I'm asking you.
Well, if I understand your question correctly, the Essene path was based on what they call the tree of life. And it had to do with receiving energy, transmuting it, and then passing on the energy. So their path was much related to healing. The Essenes were known as great healers in the biblical period. The Essenes in Egypt are known as Therapeutae, which is where I believe that the family of Joseph went when they were exiled from the Essene communities in Israel.
But did they know they found one path, and did they follow the five steps of the one path?
No, they did not. Maybe that's where they fell short and why we don't have the Essenes with us today. The downfall of the Essenes was that they did not respect anyone else's teaching. They thought they had the one and only answer. They did not take the universalist approach that you take with your mission. And they became so strict and rigid in their teaching that there were more exiled Essenes than there were practicing Essenes. And I think that led more to their downfall than the Roman massacre at Masada.
Exactly. That is why our mission is so different than any other mission, because we do not believe in isolating ourselves from society. Actually, part of our teaching is you have to be involved in the society and work in it while you try to create the communities of light and help other people also to come and join the communities of light and be flexible and give ability to everyone to create a community of light according to their wishes, and but at the same time purify it according to our teaching. So that is when actually what the cults, the word cult come from, and then a group of people become so adamant that they are the only people who are right, and they isolate themselves, and because they're isolated little by little, they completely become like a warp star. And the warp star, of course, fall in itself and become so powerful that even the light cannot escape it. So, become a black hole. And that is one of the problems with the lack of communities. And we can see some of these communities eventually reach a point that they have no escape, but they suicide, like Jim Jones and other communities that they created themselves, but they became so fall in themselves that they fall into destruction. And of course, Christ came from Essenes, and he also brought their teaching to the Jewish people. Of course, Christ also went to Persia, to India, and to Tibet. So he also knew about the Atman and Atman. That is why it was so easy for him to tell them, me and the Father are one. And the Jewish people, they were petrified when he said that, because God was God and the Jewish people only, they can worship God. They never could even imagine that they can become God or one with him. So it's like a Sufi, that when they say, I am God, the Orthodox Muslims, they got very petrified because, you know, God, Allah is up there somewhere and you cannot become one. So we can see that he knew about the teaching of the mystical paths, and he was very familiar with them by being in India and other mystical nations, including old Persian teaching, and he brought them to Jews in Palestine and Israel. So after he was from Essenes, he also had the knowledge of other culture. He also went to Egypt, but his base, as you said, was Essenes teaching, which was a purification, and probably you are right, because they were also healers, and they were into that. That's why Christ had so much healing power, because he probably learned from them how to heal other people. But of course, later on, did he emphasize in his healing? Did he tell the people, go and tell everybody that I heal you?
No, I think, first of all, Asa in the Essene tradition is referred to as Yeshua. I think Yeshua was the Jesus that we know in the modern Christian Bible is a composite character. And the actual historical Jesus, or Yeshua or Asa, did not openly do miracles or draw attention to himself. It was only later writers that glorified his existence and took some other stories that were common at the time, the suffering prophet, the death and the rebirth concepts, and they compressed it into one figure. So I'm sure if we saw the actual historical events, we would find out that Yeshua was much more politically involved with the exiled Assyrian community than the Bible would ever dare let on. Also, the issue of marriage. In that community, a person could not aspire to a leadership position unless he went through a period called the Nazarite, where he went out to the wilderness and learned to deal with himself, and then came back and married a mate that was selected for him by the community. And then once he was married, he could then assume a leadership position. And an unmarried person would never be accepted as a religious leader in those days.
Very good. You covered a lot of topics there, just about going to isolation for a while and then coming back to the community. Sounds so similar to the American Indian, that you have to go for a vision quest. They go and they isolate themselves and have a vision of who they are and what is the reason for them to be on earth. And after they realize what their vision is, they can come back, and then they are accepted as the mature person in the community. And if you couldn't have a vision, you wouldn't, as you said, probably didn't accept you in a leadership position at all. And according to our teaching again, we are saying that it is very good to be isolated for a while and meditate and know yourself and probably realize why God put you on earth. And of course, then you have that vision to fall back on all the time and realize that you are here for a call, for a reason. And also you call him Yeshua. According to our teaching, of course, the Yeshua is a corrupt name of Christ, just like Yahweh is a corrupt name for God. And the true name Yeshua and Yahweh, they merge together in a sound vibration that we call the Holy Word, and that you cannot utter it, because the moment you do that, it no longer has the subtle vibration that it carries with it. So many people say his name was Yeshua, but actually the Yeshua was his spiritual name, which cannot be pronounced, and that's why the children of Israel was prohibited to utter the name of the Lord, because they knew they cannot utter it. The real name of God is not utterable. But his name, of course, eventually became Jesus, which is never was his name. And his earthly name, of course, is Isa, but still Muslim and Hindus use as the name of Christ. And of course, as we've talked many times, if you live in a community, after a while, everybody knows each other so well. And if you are not a community material, of course, you will not be able to stay in the community for a long time. That's why community, no matter how you try to fake it that you are a part of the community, if you are not, after a while, everybody knows that you are not a community material and you don't feel comfortable yourself. But if you are, you're going to just come in, and after a while, everybody knows who is compatible with everybody else. Actually, that is the base of the arranged marriage, that the people in the community know each other so well that after a while everybody knew who matches whom. That is why then that a person would come back from the vision quest, they would be, you know, matched with somebody that they were compatible and they would marry. And also, did Christ heal or not? Of course, it is something 2,000 years ago, and Christ's teaching was put down, or the gospel put down 170 years after Christ, so we know how things can change very easily in a period of time. And probably Christ did some of those miracles, probably not all of them, and probably they were not as elaborate as they have been put in the book. Because he was from Essenes, and you say they're emphasizing in healing, probably he had a lot of healing power, and maybe a lot of things related to him, you know, exaggerated by the disciples, because disciples like to do that. And now it is very difficult for anybody to come and say he has a revelation from God. All the Christians, you know, expecting him to heal everybody and walk on the water, not to eat and all that. So they have sometimes they do a disservice to God's plan by wanting to make their teacher or leader or revealer do more than the healer has done. So he then, there must be some of the miracles has been done by him, but not probably as much and exaggerated as there is. So the seems were very special group that they purified themselves, and eventually the Messiah came from them. That's why Christ was so deep in teaching and purification and tried to purify Jewish religion. And of course, what he was saying was very deep, and most humans don't want to follow that kind of a discipline. The problem with not being disciplined is like not disciplining a steam. If the water becomes a steam and you don't put in an engine and discipline him, then the steam is just evaporates and no use, you can take out of it. That is what discipline in the mission, also a part of the spiritual realization and progress. And as you discipline yourself, you can use your energy in a much more effective way. One of the discipline is marriage. That bounds you, discipline yourself, therefore your mind and your energy will be concentrated for the greater things than dissipating the energy without manifesting great thing in life. And therefore, the sins are very disciplined people, and that's why they have such a great impact on human history, because they had great purification and historical significance for Jewish community, and eventually the Messiah came from them. So I know about the sins, that how they affected the Jewish community. The other Jews, the Jewish people that they were not following their strict discipline of the Essenes, they consider them odd. They consider them not a part of their greater culture of temple and Jerusalem and the priests' food and all that. But they probably were closer to God than other sects. I hope that answers your question. If there is something else you want to add, go ahead.
No, and I thank you and appreciate very much the amount of time you've spent on my particular interest, and I don't mean to bore the rest of the room or dominate the discussion with your themes, but I do think it's an important point. And as usual, your answers are complete. I haven't read anything you've written or heard anything you said that I disagree with, and have come to many of those conclusions myself, so I thank you again. One comment, though. Marriage is a discipline. You know, sometimes I think it's a punishment, but whatever it is, we have to take it as it is. Thank you very much.
Why do you think marriage is a punishment?
It's a long personal story. I wouldn't want to get into that right now.
Okay, probably I agree with you about these days marriage, which is based in an ego between two people, and they don't have the support of the community. And marriage with the support of community is based on two egos trying to merge with one another and become one. And if it's not based on God, it's based on me and you. And never two egos can merge together as one. And that I can see how that can become a punishment. But if the marriage is based on God and the community is supporting them, these two people was growing together in a community, and they know each other inside out very well, and they know exactly how each feels or is, and after a while they decide to marry with one another, and they continue the marriage because of the community and because it's based on God, and then you God put together, the man does not separate, that marriage will become a bless between a couple, because it's not based on ego. Probably you are talking about these days marriage, and I agree, those are punishment and suffering. because two people do not marry with one another because of God's way and God's will, but they marry because of other reasons. You know, they like each other's, you know, energy or intellect or money or this or that, but not based on community and God. And you can see the only way the marriage can become a blessing is in the community of life, based on God and supported by the community. So probably you are talking about that kind of a marriage. Again, these conversations are for your benefit, to we can discuss many topics, any topics you have in mind, so we can understand the teaching in deeper level. Of course, in satsangs, I have already answered many, many, many questions, and they are all available in the mission, in the website, and I feel that the questions have been answered. Now, everybody that wants to make it in a deeper level and discuss this thing with me, that is why I'm here, to for you to know this thing in a deeper level, and you go and teach this thing to other people so they also can understand the latest revelation. Well, Lou.
Shalom, Maitreya. Could you please explain the word ascension? What is it? What exactly does it mean to be ascended? And is one who is ascended is in pure consciousness?
Okay, what is your definition of ascension? Because ascension also have many possibilities from ascended masters. Some people follow ascended masters. Some people, you know, have different idea of being ascended to the cloud once Christ came, and they leave the body, or the body is followed in top to go to the cloud and join them. What is your definition of ascension?
To me, when somebody says that he's ascended, it means that, you know, he's gone to another dimension, never to come back in embodiment again.
So ascension is a level of consciousness, a different level of consciousness to you. They go from one level to another, and when they are ascended, they don't come back. When they are ascended, where do they go?
That's exactly what I would like to know.
Okay. Okay, so you don't believe in a physical ascension, right? You believe in consciousness ascended. And what happens to the physical body when somebody consciously is ascended?
Well, the way that I've heard about it is that some people, you know, transform the body, and some leave the body. So, you know, I'd like to know, you know, your take on that, because I'm kind of confused.
Okay, if they are ascended and they take physical body, I have heard somebody said they have to create light bodies and they go to a different dimension and all that. So if they create light body or create another body and leave, they have a still body, right? If they have a still body, what is that body is made of?
Well, I guess that body would be made up of the substance of the dimension they live in.
Okay, so it is a matter. It is something that's tangible or touchable, visible, or whatever that dimension represents, it still has it. So if it is a body, at least you can see it. So it has the quality of the material universe. And whatever is material and has the material, it has the dimension or the quality of the manifested universe is not ultimate. The only thing is ultimate is formless, invisible, nameless, and eternal. Fine. And that is consciousness. So consciousness is something that cannot be seen, cannot be touched, doesn't have any smell, it doesn't have any material property. So the only way a person can reach the ultimate is the consciousness become that pure form that is the essence of everything. And that essence we call pure consciousness. When the consciousness is absolutely is absorbed to itself and become one with God and merges with the ocean, and the drop and the ocean become one, and therefore there is no separation between God and the unit consciousness. And if you want to call that ascension, therefore you reach true consciousness and you no longer can maintain the physical body, and the physical body in that moment seems to be dead and there is no movement in it, and the consciousness merges with God and there is no longer really, is separated from the essence, and that probably is the highest ascension for any unit consciousness, and that is the goal of life. That is why the goal of the life is to become divine. That divinity, God, is everything. And if you realize that, then you have ascended. Of course, there are many levels of ascension. There are a level that a person reaches and reaches true consciousness. Go to the door, look inside, and say, I can go in. I can ascend and leave my body and never come back again, or come back again and according to, you know, God's will. And here you, that person says, well, I'm not going to go in because I want to help also. It is so wonderful that you say, no, I want other people also come with me, see this beautiful place or beautiful state of consciousness. Therefore, that person returns back as what they call it, the perfect master, or the person that has seen the vision, has been close to God, but he or she decided not to go in. They come back. And they come here, the only reason they come back here is to help others also to go to God. And they connect you to God. They don't create cults, they don't create, you know, people that they call them master, or, you know, they're not in evil ship. They are here to let the humanity know that the path returning to God is the only one path, and God is revelation and all that. And they become a source of taking humanity to a higher level. The other ascension is the person who has seen the vision dies and goes to pure consciousness, but still maintains a very small ego, so he doesn't go in, and he returns back, and that is what they call him avatars. The people who have reached pure consciousness, but they come and return again, they are not in ego trip. You know, this concept, rather than this concept, is a lot of people like a concept, and they take it as an ego trip, and they say, I'm an avatar. It's just like I'm the only avatar there is. Or I'm, you know, I have seen the vision, and that is when the problem starts. And these people are returned, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a Lex, that they have come here, and they have ambition, no desire, no attachments, but to help the rest of the humanity to come to the higher consciousness. And of course, the third ascension is the person who teaches through consciousness and jump in and become one with God, and they do not want to return. But of course, God said, I will screw you out of my mouth. Even those who selfishly want to come to enter through consciousness will not stay there for long. Therefore, ascension is not a permanent thing. You will return and try to help other people to go higher consciousness. That's why it's so important to create forms of light as soon as possible. It is so important we bring in all the communities to humanity, so many people can ascend to true consciousness, many people can become perfect masters, many people can become avatar, and so we have a lot of workers together, so we can all come together and work together and create forms of light and create a system that will be sent to us from God, and eventually create one humanity under one God and one earth, and accelerate the human progress to the higher consciousness in an amazing speed. And that is what the mission is about, is to ascend or help many to go to that state of consciousness. So ascension means to reach true consciousness. You ascend in this lifetime, or you have been ascended before and you come back, or eventually at the end of this creation, those who have reach pure consciousness or ascended to that level, will merge with God and will be in that state of pure bliss or joy, ananda, for a long, long time together with God. So that is the goal. That is what Buddha said, called it nirvana. Christian call it Christ consciousness. Muslim call it Allah. Whatever we call it doesn't matter. If there is only one truth, and that truth is the goal of the life. So the goal of the life is where we want to ascend. I hope that makes sense. If you have follow-up, go ahead.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. And another question I had is concerning the Apostle Paul, when he said that women should not teach in the church. Could you please clarify that?
Yeah, that's a good question, probably, that some people that came to the church, they wanted to teach something that they didn't know nothing about. And not only if they don't know the teaching, women should not teach the teaching. If the man doesn't know the teaching, he shouldn't be teaching it either. But if there is a woman who knows the teaching and he is dedicated to God, absolutely, and nothing in her life is more important than God, can help other people to realize the teaching and has the ability to know and to impart the teaching to other people, so be it. One of the things, of course, in the past, that they have prevented women to participate in leadership and teaching is the period of the month that they go through, and that time they are emotionally affected with their physical manifestation, and of course that affects the chakras, and they were very emotional and all that, so men have come to the conclusion that women don't have the ability to be rational and not emotional, and therefore they kept them from participating in many activities of humans. Therefore, the women to try to meditate, to realize their period, they see themselves like everybody else, how it affects them, and become more familiar with the period in their life, or even going through the menopause in that period, they also are very emotional and they get affected with the hormones and chakras, and therefore they can be sometimes difficult to relate to, and therefore they have been kept from many activities. But as they meditate more and more, the most important is who has the ability to do what. And if in a community a woman proves themselves to be a good leader, they are rational, they are organizers, they are good people, they can also manifest themselves to any level they want. But at the same time, a woman has to become aware more and more of themselves and how these things affect them. Therefore, probably Paul was talking about something like this, that some women would emotional and they would come and they take the energy to a lower level, and Paul was very probably annoyed with that situation, so decided he generalized the situation probably, and he just said, all women. And that's exactly what is the difference between women now in the West and the woman in the East? Is there any difference between them?
Yeah. I would say yes, yeah.
Okay, yes, but what is the difference?
In a way, the women in the West have a little bit more freedom than the women in the East back in the day. That's the way I was thinking about it.
Well, women in the West have actually much more freedom than women in the East. They do, according to the appearance of the situation. But the women in the West can get a job, they can become educated, they can become leaders, they can go to the, you know, managerial position and all that. Also, they can show their body more than women of the East. Okay, and so we can see that now we cannot get away from, you know, seeing half-naked women all over the place. And in the West, of course, you can even show your eyes. You know, you cannot get educated, you cannot have a leadership position, or like a Taliban in Afghanistan, you know, you couldn't even show a little of your hair or anything. So two absolute extremes. But who has more respect, more power, more higher level? A woman in the East or a woman in the West?
Are you saying who has more power or more respect?
Yeah, well, respect is really power. Respect, if when you respect someone, you listen to them, and you respect them, you put them up. But which one has more? Who get more respect?
Oh, the women in the West get more respect for me. Yes.
You mean people listen to the women in the West, the children and their husbands listen to them more than the women in the East?
No. The women in the West, you know, I would say command more respect than the women in the East, because the women in the East, most of the time, they can even talk to their husbands.
Okay, now let's bring these to the in the middle path. Okay, if there is a woman who is chaste, they have the ability to emphasize the higher level than their body, and they live in an environment that they can express themselves with that higher level. Which one gets more respect? The woman in the East that has been under cover and can talk to anybody and can show them her, and she is absolutely being controlled with the male in the society, or a woman in the West that mostly emphasizes the body. This one gets respected, the woman in the East, or the woman in the West, or the one in the middle. The middle is the one that emphasizes her higher nature and not her body. Which one gets, from these three, which one gets more respect?
Well, I would say the one in the middle, because if she emphasizes the high ideals of life, you know, she would get more respect than anyone else, than the one who exposes her body.
Exactly. So we can see the East gone too far the other way, and the West gone too far to the other end. So we have two extremes. That's what they can't understand each other. The women of the East absolutely are dominated, and they can get rid of the yoke on themselves. And the women in the West, they think the freedom means they can show as much as the body, and they become the, you know, sexual object, many of them, in the media and all that, and they use them as bringing the men to the lower nature. And when you are in the lower nature, then they say, buy this, buy that. And they advertise them to them, no. If they can bring you to first or second chakra, then they can do what you do. And so, therefore, we can see we have to go to the middle path. We have to teach the women that they are much more prettier and beautiful if they keep some secrets from, you know, men. And men actually become much more affected. Actually, there was a book, I forgot the name, it's about... it is a priest goes to the North Pole. It's a very famous book, and he gets so affected with the weather and all that, he almost becomes blind, and he reaches the North Pole and he sees penguins, and because he couldn't see very well, he thinks they're human, and he says, oh good, I found some pagans, so I can baptize them. And he baptized the penguins, and when they baptized, the whole God and his kingdom said, well, he has baptized them. What are we going to do? Now they are baptized penguins, and they decide to make them to humans. And then they make them to human. Of course, they're all naked. They didn't have any clothing or anything. And they continue living like that, and eventually God decides, well, these penguins, you know, they're all naked. You should not be naked all the time. So they bring clothing and put one of the women in clothing, And when that woman comes to the community, all the men start following her because they wanted to know what does she have with other women, because other women are naked, everybody could see them. So everybody become attracted to that woman with the clothes on. That shows, you know, that if women realize that how more powerful they are and how more ability they have to bring men in a higher nature by keeping some of their body secret, they will actually realize that that is even better for them than showing everything. And after a while, nothing is secret, nothing is important, nothing is interesting, because everybody has seen everybody, everything they have to see. So we can see that this is the teaching, they have to realize it themselves. You can put the, you know, a loose woman under the chador and cover her and say, yeah, now she's okay. No, it's not. Actually, there was a poet that it was talking about how a loose woman under chador still does whatever she wants. So that chador and covering in the East doesn't prevent things happening that happens in all over the world. So again, the idea is to make the women to realize their higher nature, they meditate, they emphasize their beauty of the soul, and how the more covered they are themselves and be able to keep themselves from being exposed too much is much better for them themselves. So we can see that, again, our teaching is educational, understanding, realizing yourself, and not just telling them to do something that they say, no, I'm going to be enslaved by it. So we can see that there are a lot of reasons what Paul says that. He probably didn't, you know, believe that women can go to the higher nature. They can be leaders. They can be intellectually able to discuss higher things or the teaching. And probably there were some women in the church that, you know, they talked too much or they didn't emphasize their higher nature, and he probably got annoyed and generalized the idea to all women. Of course, you know, when you generalize an idea and say everybody, you know, just like any Arab is a terrorist, the moment you say that, of course, you are wrong. Because not all Arabs are terrorists, or all Muslims are, you know, fundamentalists, or, you know, they blow people up, or are Japanese in World War II is enemy of the United States, or anything you generalize and cover a group completely with one idea, you are wrong. You can't do that. So that is why, again, humanity has to realize there is exception, you know, and you cannot generalize and say this group are like that. Again, the understanding, the deeper realization, giving opportunity to people to see if they can manifest the quality that they want to manifest. So there is no such a thing as all women should not talk in church, but of course, if even a man is vulgar in, and just like we saw somebody came to this room and said something that absolutely shouldn't be said, not even when you are by yourself, and we can see we adopt them and we probably bounce them. And they could be men or women. So that generalization should be a stop. Everybody should be looked at as individuals and judged as an individual. And therefore, we can create an environment that humanity can look at each other as a manifestation of God, not separating them by gender, nationality, religion, background, race, or whatever, but look at each person and say, who is he or she? What kind of ability they have? Can they manifest their higher level of God? If they can't, they say, well, this person shouldn't talk in church. Not all the people with this race shouldn't talk in church, but if they have the ability to talk higher, think great. But if they can't, we can. So Paul has been going in a lot of things, so I'm not surprised that he's been going in that too. And therefore this mission is a mission of education, mission of tolerance, mission of understanding, looking at each individual. We want to teach all humanity to realize that, and every individual should be looked with what merits they have.
Okay, thank you very much. That answered my question.
Sure, you are welcome. And again, we are here to understand the teaching and have the conversation with each other. So let us continue. The idea is eventually the mission will have all the elects together. Get involved with the mission to reach. Reach out. Let the humanity know that they have another alternative to their old religions. All religions are unified, and tell them that the last revelation of God is on earth. That's all they have to tell them, and tell them that now they are obligated to go and find out themselves. This is the room of conversation of Mission of Maitreya. You're welcome to it. This is the room that we claim to have the last revelation of God, unify our religions, fulfill all the prophecies, and now the Word of God is on earth again. And we invite everybody to go to our website and to our teachings and realize what is this new revelation. And realize that God has sent them to humanity. Come join us. Create the covenants of light and help this mission to reach in each, every corner on earth. And therefore humanity eventually realize they are one humanity, one earth, one God, and they should come together and create an environment that everybody can progress physically, mentally, and spiritually to the highest level, so we can all go back home, become one with God, and stay in the absolute bliss or joy or ananda of God. Let us separate ourselves with religions, with gender, with nationality, with race, with anything that doesn't let us look at another person as the essence of God. And if we recognize the essence of God in every individual, we don't look at them as man, woman, child, black, white, yellow, red, whatever that separates man from man, but we are one in that essence which is called God. And that unity has to be understood and come to us, otherwise we will destroy ourselves. And this is the time of realizing these things ourselves in deeper levels, and reach out and teach other people also this wonderful realization. We are here to have conversation with each other. That means just talk it out. Talk different things together and come up with the correct answer for every aspect of human life. Our teaching is based on the eternal only one path, which is to awaken our spiritual forces, create the communities of light, sacrifice, surrender and submit to God, and become a universalist. Awaken our spiritual forces covers all mystical paths, which includes Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, Sufis in Islam, and any other religion or teaching that says know thyself to know God. That can be accomplished by meditation, concentration, chanting, dancing, and whatever other techniques that helps you to awaken your spiritual forces. Then you direct that energy towards the creation of communities of light. Communities of light is based on the eternal divine path. In the communities of light, of course, the communities of light is the teaching of the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament teaches that God is trying to find the people, the elects, the Hebrews, to come and create a community based on God and His love. And Christ come to show how that community can be created, not being self-centered, but sacrifice to create such a community. Sacrifice is the message of Christ. Christ came to show how you have to give up everything for their ideal, which is the creation of the Communist of Light. And in order to do that, of course, you have to surrender and submit to God. Surrendering means you surrender the result to God, and submission means really that God come through all the time to do the work through you. And of course, you have to become universalist. You have to realize your home is universe, your father is God, and your mother is God, and you are here to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's based on the commons of life, which is based on the eternal divine path. Of course, such people, by raising their spiritual forces, those who work toward the creation of the commons of life, they sacrifice, they surrender and submit to God and become universalists, are what in our religions and teachings of God is called the elect. Those who are the salt of the world, they are those who have been chosen, those who have been meditating for many lifetimes, they have no ego, they have no attachment, they have no desire, they are absolutely here to do the will of God. And these elect, of course, is the sixth field, and these are the people that who will reach pure consciousness, the seventh field, and realize our teaching, the seventh field, and eventually help the whole universe to go to pure consciousness. So, you can see, this teaching is so logical, it is so interrelated, everything falls into places, answers all the questions, and therefore you have heard it, you have seen the vision, you have asked questions, you have been answered, and now it is your responsibility to take it and teach it to other people. Join the mission, become a contact, become a whatever thing you can do best. Come and join the community here in New Mexico, or start one where you are. So we have a great mission to work on, and if we do not do that, of course, the destruction will come in a greater degree to humanity, and you cannot go to pure consciousness by yourself. As God said, I will spew you out of my mouth. So if you really understand our teaching, you realize you have no choice but to come and help this realization and the work of God. And of course, if you have the slightest ego or attachments or desires, you will be taken away, and you will not be able to do your mission. So it is a great opportunity for all of us to realize these teachings and depth of it, and meditate and read. So go to the website, ask questions, and when you are absolutely satisfied that all the answers are given here in this mission, then it becomes your life. You have no choice but realize that God has sent it. You can say it's not from God if so much truth has been revealed to humanity, that it's amazing how much truth God has given this time. It is correct. All the other prophets to this point brought probably 3-4 alphabet of the God's revelation. This is the rest of the alphabet of the revelation from God, and therefore you have to see that, and you realize that's amazing, and therefore come and join and help other people also to see this wonderful thing. So study, meditate, create more questions, and see what else you want to talk to me about. If you have a religion that you want to discuss and see how it falls into our teaching, you can also come up and let us know what is your religion, what do you think about your religion, where it falls, and how that relates to the teaching of this mission. There is no religion, no revelation, or teaching on earth which is not a part of the eternal divine path and our teachings. That is why we claim everybody is a part of us. Just like God. Everybody is a part of God. But a lot of people don't accept that, and they separate themselves and say, no, we and them. How can you say we and them? God is only one, and He is everything. How can you say, separate yourself, we are better than them, our religion is better than them, our religion is from God, their religion is not from God. And you can't do that because God is everything, and therefore everybody is a part of Him, and everybody has that essence of God in them, and if they cannot see it, they are in absolute delusion, and they separate themselves from God, and that is not acceptable, because that is separation. Anything separates a part of the universe from another part is not from God, because God is everything. Therefore, many human, 99% of human are in deep delusion, even maybe more than that, and that is what we have to teach them. You cannot kill each other, you cannot be separated, you cannot create an environment that we are better than them and they are worse than those, and these are just destruction. This is not gonna bring peace and unity to humanity. The only thing will bring peace and unity to humanity is understanding God in its essence and the truth. And that is the mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We have the answer for human problems. We have the answer to create the kingdom of heaven on earth. We have the answer from God to our problems of man, and we are here to call all of you to come, to see, to join, to do what's necessary. The only thing is required, check your ego out of the mission before you come in. Because you bring your ego in the mission, then you will see it's very hard to follow eternal divine path. Of course, we don't expect you come here without ego. Human has a great ego and delusion, but at least have the willingness to give it up, the willingness to let the ego go. If we can create 144,000 egoless humans on earth, we can shake this earth toward peace and unity. Compared with 6 billion people on earth, 144,000 is not a big number. It's a drop in a bucket. It really is. So, be that drop. Be a part of drop. Be one of those 144,000. But if you have a big ego and you cannot check it out, don't come. You know, we're not interested in number. We're interested in quality, not quantity. So, examine yourself. See if God has called you. Do you have the ability to sacrifice for God's mission? So that is who we are calling. This mission is the mission of God, and everybody is invited, obligated to go and find out about it. At least, of course, we have many, many different levels of members. Some people just love the mission, that's fine. But those who really are the elect are those who are able to become a part of this great movement, and we can create the facilitating body with them. If you are not a part of the facilitating body, if you are not helping the mission to grow, if you are not sacrificing, meditating, awakening your forces, creating communities of light, sending submit to God and universalists, you are not the highest member of God's body. See our teaching. See how wonderful it is. Come and become a part of the greatest movement since the human history on earth. These are not just words, they are the word of God, and therefore meditate and realize this thing. Go ahead, Bibrizo.
Yes, I'm trying to do all the things that you recommend. I'm not able to physically join a community of light at this time, but I am trying to work on the other issues. How does one know when they're overcoming ego? I mean, ego, I have to admit, is one of my greatest problems. We all like to think we're important and have something special to offer, and I think that's a byproduct of ego. But how do we know, how can we tell when we're starting to conquer the ego?
You start meditating, you start concentrating on the greatest sign, If you can meditate, close your eyes. If you are a person who loves to meditate and can meditate in a deeper level, go forth, use the mantra Hariyam Sharihang Om Nam Kevalam, which means the goal of the life is to become divine. That divinity, God, is everything. And we have a room here called Meditandre Universal Mantra. Go and learn how to meditate on that and learn the process. If you cannot meditate, if you drink a lot of coffee, meat, and stimulating food that doesn't let the mind to rest and relax, sit in front of the greatest sign and just gaze at it and let your mind see different parts of it and realize the relationship between different symbols, and that will take you deeper and deeper inside. Eventually, the center of the greatest sign, which is God, and that is another way to meditate and realize deeper level. Then, now start looking at yourself, you know, what the ego does to you. What is this ego that prevents you from dedicating your life 100% to God? And when you meditate and you become a little deeper level, then start reaching out to your family, to your friends, to your neighbor, to your colleague, or anybody that you can talk to and teach them and let them know that the very best revelation has come to earth, and God's word has come to earth again, and how the religions are unified. Direct them to the website, teach them, show them there, and whatever you can do, help them to also see the unity of the of God in everything. So each person have the ability to reach to around themselves, to work on themselves, and become a greater channel for God. And for you, nobody is out of it. Even if you are absolutely disabled, you know, you are in a wheelchair, but still you can be useful. You can be able to reach out and touch other people around you about the mission. The only thing really you need is a mouth. If, even if you don't have a mouth, you can, if you have a hand and click, you can click the mouse, you can take them to the website, you know. So it is not really hard to reach to other people and direct them. You have to get involved. If you are not getting involved into the mission, you will not be progressing. If you are not completely following the teaching and you are lukewarm, you are not progressing. If you are not completely, you know, one with everything that is in the mission, not everything, but the things that are important, you are not progressing. So the thing is, wrap yourself up into the eternal divine path, into the mission, into the teaching. See things, come here, ask questions, understand in different level, know what you're teaching, and reach a point that say, yes, this is from God, therefore I will follow it. Don't say, okay, I'm 50% here, but still 50% with my father and mother and family and culture and gender and all that, and still I want to become completely one with this mission. You know, then little by little, you will become a source of blessing for everybody around you. And then you will start creating maybe comments of where you are. If you cannot join us here, you know, just attract people around yourself. You don't have to come here. You know, if it's not a cult, it's just a teaching that is your teaching. When you got it, you realize it, you know, then it's your teaching and you can create comments here. Of course, eventually, hopefully we reach a point that we can connect your community to this community and many other communities and create a great networking between all of these. As you progress in your meditation, and you start to create a common supply, you realize, wow, I have to sacrifice. Because you cannot reach out and not sacrifice, and as you sacrifice, of course you have to give up yourself. As you reach, people will see ego in you, and you will see yourself better as never before. So you will realize, wow, I have still a lot of ego left in me. You know, I cannot get along with the people. I'm too judgmental. I am a person who can't see the fault in myself, but I can see fault in other people easily. So you can say, well, let me look at myself first. Let's take the beam out of my eyes first, before I can judge the people around me. So that makes you come a deeper level. Eventually you start getting some people attracted to you. And then you say, wow, look at me. I'm such a great teacher that these people are attracted to me, and you get again the big ego, and you fall, and you realize what happened. Why these people that are attracted to me are not attracted? Then you realize it's your ego that is elated. Therefore, you say, okay, sorry, I let God come through, or I surrender the desire to God. Ego doesn't like that at all. Then you say, I don't surrender the desire to God. Ego says, no, you know, it's me doing this. You don't do that. So then you follow the first seal, which is surrender and submission. You surrender the desire to God. So eventually you reach a point, you let come through. And if God comes through, do you have an ego? If you reach a point that God comes through, your ego will be dissolved in God's ego, and you are free to go ahead and do your work without being attached to the result. And of course, after a while, you realize not only you have to help your people in your nation or in your group, in your community, but you have to help the whole universe. So you become a universalist, the fifth seal. Then you're in the next, your ego absolutely checks out. And because you meditate, you understand yourself in different levels. You try to create the promise of God. You reach to other people. Other people see your ego. If you don't see your ego, other people see right through you. A lot of people think, oh, I can hide my ego from other people. Well, you can hide it from yourself. You think you don't have any ego, but the people, I want to let you know, you have ego. So after you start creating promise of light, you will face yourself much better. Because you have to work with other people. The hardest work in the universe is the ability to work with other people, and not only work with them, but let them see themselves. Sometimes when you let them see themselves, they blame you for their ego, but really it is what is in them. And at the same time, you realize yourself in a greater degree. So how to get rid of the ego is eternal divine path again. It is our teaching. It's following the eternal divine path. We'll let you get rid of your ego. And when you reach the fourth seal, then you reach a point that you submit to God completely, and He comes through you 100%, there is no ego left. You know that you and God are one, and what you do is God's will, and therefore what you do is effective. And people see the beauty in it, and they don't see the ego, because you don't have any. You don't brag about it. You don't, you're not attached to it. You're absolutely, do it, get the job done perfectly, and leave it to God, and go to another project without any attachments. That is the highest spiritual realization, and that is when you know you have no ego. When you have no ego, can you separate a part of the universe from another? You can't. So you become universalist. So again, you can see the eternal divine path is the path to egolessness, unity, creation of the comings of light, the kingdom of heaven on earth, and bringing the highest realization to man. And that is what we need in this moment in human history. Otherwise, we will see human is going toward the destruction of all the species, and there is no one is safe but to realize that there are one human, one earth, one God, and God has sent all this revelation to humanity. We have to become egoless. We have to follow them on this one path. We have to create the comings of life. We have to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. No matter how powerful you are, no matter how wonderful you think you are, that is the way out. And that is given in this mission. And now, we invite everybody to go to our website and realize what God sent to humanity. And that's how you know you have no ego. If you can manifest God 100% and God comes through you always, then you are egoless. I hope that makes sense to you. So new people in the room, we welcome you to the conversation room. This is another room of the Mission of Maitreya. We have many other rooms in the religious section. Our teaching has unified all religions of the world. Our claim is that each of them have a specific message for humanity, and when you put them together, you will understand the eternal divine path. And all these religions each have one part in the eternal divine path, and therefore all religions of the world is part of a greater revelation from God, and there is no separation between religions, and we have proven in every level in the teaching and in our website that this revelation is what God has foretold come to humanity. Therefore, this is what all humans are obligated to go, to search, to know, and to teach to themselves and to others. Well, actually.
Yes, I've been looking into the Course of Miracles for some time now, and I got a lot of answers from it. I just wondered if you were familiar with the Course of Miracles and would you agree with the content?
Yeah, we are familiar with the Course of Miracles. They have a lot of wonderful words in them. But we recommend that our members and the people in the mission to study everything there is and also see where they fall. Course of Miracles also have come from good words and probably higher level of consciousness. But of course, the Course of Miracles has not been prophesied to come to humanity as a revelation from God. And therefore, no matter how wonderful and beautiful and pretty they are, still we have to look to see, is it a part of God's plan, and compare it with the God's revelation, and if probably compare it, it falls into the first level in the eternal divine path or our teaching. This is awakening of your spirit forces, knowing yourself, knowing deeper thing in life. So if I recommend that you go and learn our teaching, go to our website. They have it there right there, www.mysea.org, and learn our teaching. And when we talk about the first seal or mystical path, then you know what we're talking about. Probably the Course of Miracles falls in the first seal. The next step you should take is to carry the Comings of Light or join the Comings of Light. Sacrifice, Comings of Light is the Old Testament teaching. Sacrifice is the Christ teaching, and become surrendered and submissive, which is the teaching of Islam, and becoming universalist, which is the teaching of Bab and Baha'u'llah. And then you can become an elect. So, Course of Miracles by itself does not take you to the pure consciousness, but taking steps and become active in the eternal divine path too. So we do know about the Course of Miracles, but that will not take you to ultimate. They are beautiful words, but those words have to come to actions, and those actions can be done in this mission. I hope this makes sense to you. If you have any follow-up, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Sure, Ashley, I hope you go to our website, and we claim this is the last revelation of God, and therefore we believe that everybody have to know our teaching in a deeper level, realize that whatever they have is a part of our teaching, whatever they have is not ultimate, cannot be ultimate, because the ultimate is the eternal divine path and the opening of the seven seeds and all those things in our website. Our teaching is based on the revelation that each religion of the world, every teaching on earth, is a part of this revelation. No matter where you are, what your religion is, what you believe, is a part of the eternal divine path. Therefore, you are a part of us, but you have to expand yourself to this new revelation. And this new revelation is explained in four rooms here in this paragraph, and also in our website. You can go there and study them, look at them, realize them, see them, and understand them in a deeper level. And of course, you will not just benefit by reading them, but by engaging yourself to the eternal divine path and start doing the God's will. Therefore, this is the ultimate revelation from God. This is ultimate realization for humanity, and every human is obligated to go and find out what this revelation is. And no matter what you know and what you have studied, this revelation will help you to place yourself in God's plan and then accept the rest of it and progress in a greater degree. In during the week, please study the teaching in deeper level. Create questions. Put your questions down on the piece of paper or what you want to talk about while you are studying or are teaching. And come here in Saturdays at 10 o'clock Mountain Standard Time and let us talk about it in a deeper level. For the people who have the new in the room, our teaching is based in a path called Eternal Divine Path. It is a path of five steps, two results. The first step in the path is awakening of the spiritual forces, or a mystical path. That means knowing thyself. Know thyself to know God. Be still and know God, that I am God. And in every religion, in every teaching, say, if you know yourself, you and God are one. And that is a mystical path in every religion. Therefore, the first step in the eternal divine path is to know thyself, to meditate, to concentrate, to realize yourself in a deeper level. The first step includes Hinduism, Buddhism, all the mystical paths like Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, and Sufis in Islam, and any other religion that is a relation between man and God. That is the greatest, to know yourself and realizing you and God are one. You are in the image of God. If you have not had experience, as we discussed before, the fiends used to go out and spend a long period of time by themselves. Why? They have an experience. They have a relationship. They have a seeing that they and God are one. They have a vision. Or like American Indian, they went for the vision quest. They went out by themselves and spend a long period of time to eventually have a vision. And when they had that vision, of course, they were accepted in the community as a person who had the vision. Actually, you would not be mature, you would not be adult if you hadn't had the vision. You hadn't gone for the vision quest and had not seen the vision. In that period, usually, they fast for a long period of time. Of course, fasting is a great way to knowing yourself, because it calms down in your mind and your body. And the only time you can really see the reflection of God in you is your mind is still, is calm. It's just like a lake and a moon. If the lake is shaky and there's a lot of turbulence, can you see the moon? Moon is there, but you can see it because it breaks up in so many pieces. And you cannot see the moon in the lake or God in the lake. So the first step is to calm the mind, to calm the body, go for the quest of the vision. And then you saw the vision, and then you connected yourself to God, therefore you become one with Him, and you have had a personal relationship with God. If you don't have a personal relationship with God, you have religion, you have belief, you have dogmas. You separate man from man. You have a religion that is not God's religion, but is man-made religion. It's actually made with the intellectual people who have no vision of God. That's what we call an intellectual spiritualist. You know, rabbis and gurus and mullahs and Brahmins, who are the problem, really. Because they don't have any vision, they just have a religion, intellectually they understand it, and they just pound it in their followers' heads and create separation between man and man. But if you have a vision, and you have seen God, and you have seen the reflection of God in yourself, God is in everybody, then. You know, because if God is in you, God is in everybody. How can I support, you know, this one of that one, because he doesn't have a set of dogmas, and that creates separation. So for the first step in the eternal divine path is to have that realization, that vision of God. Therefore you have no religion anymore, but you have become a realized person. The second step, of course, is to create the fullness of light. To create an environment, which not only it is good for your spirit and you can manifest that God within in a greater degree, but also give other people the opportunity to also be able to have that vision, to be able to see God in themselves. And that creation of community, of course, is the theme of the Old Testament. The whole Old Testament is based on God is trying to find the people, Hebrews, that who accept God as their king, his love as the love of the community, and they adore him and sacrifice for him and listen to him and follow him and create a community or a tribe that is absolutely God consciousness, and the God just spirit reached to man as a triangle downward in the Star of David or the Son of Solomon, and of course the marriage to God, triangle upward in the Star of David. So the Star of David is the symbol of God reaching to man and man reaching to God. The triangle downward and the triangle upward. And therefore they reach to each other, and therefore God manifests in that community. God comes through that community. That community follows God's laws. And that is the whole theme of the Old Testament. Community of love, creation of the 12 tribe of Israel, the elect, the people who follow the eternal divine path. So therefore we can see the mystical path, the first step to know thyself, includes many mystical paths are there, including Hinduism and Buddhism and all other mystical paths. The second is to create up the community of life, which is the theme of the Old Testament. How can we create the community? How can we create a place that is good for the spirit and other people's spirit? That is where the sacrifice comes in. You have to sacrifice. If everybody in the community says, no, I am the number one, everybody listens to me, and I'm not going to sacrifice everybody else, serve me, then we're not having the communities of love. We are having the communities of the egos, and of course ego never become one with another ego. We will have a problem in the community, and we cannot get it on that line. Therefore the next step is sacrifice for the community in order to create such an environment. That is the message of Christ. Christ came and sacrificed himself for his ideal. Therefore that the next step, the third step, is to sacrifice to create such a community, and that is the Christianity and the message of Christ. Now we sacrifice for a while and we succeed. We say, wow, look at me, I'm great. I'm the person this mission really needs, and it completely depends on me. If I withdraw, this mission is going to fall apart, or God's mission is going to fall apart. Then you are a big ego, and you become elated, and you become disconnected. And if somebody says you have ego, of course you get upset. You say, no, I don't have ego. I'm just a great person. I'm the greatest person here in this area, and therefore you fall. Well, no matter what, you put a lot of effort and sacrifice, nothing happens. And you become discouraged because you feel that you are wasting your time. And then the next step comes in, surrendering the resolve to God. What you say is, okay, God, I did my best. It's not happening. Then I'm not attached to the result. What is happening is not my doing. It is really here to serve God, but to surrender the result to God. Then you are not attached to the result. What happens to you? You are not egotistical anymore, because whatever happened, the result is God's. You know, you did your job, and therefore it is not yours, or if it didn't happen, still, we can look back and say, why is this not happening, and correct yourself and improve the situation, but at the same time, you are not attached to the result, therefore you can do even more and continue doing more. And eventually, you reach a point and you realize that really you are not the doer at all. It is God doing it through you, and that is the submission, that is even greater than surrendering the result. That means God is doing it through me. Therefore, if God is doing it through me, I'm not doing anything. I'm an observer to see this thing is happening around me, and God is the doer, therefore I'm absolutely free. And therefore, you are not only not attached to the result of the action, you haven't done any action to be attached to anything. And that is, of course, the highest spiritual realization. That is when ego no more exists in you, because you do not exist, but God exists, come through you, and you're absolutely free from any attachments, from your actions, and that is when the karma doesn't occur. Karma is what? Karma is a result of action. If God is doing it through you, Do you carry any karma? You don't do anything to carry any karma. You're absolutely free. So therefore, submission is the goal of the spiritual progress, and this is the highest realization in our path. And when you become submitted, you, of course, meditate your sleep, you awaken your spiritual forces, you work for the community to create one, or join one, or be a part of one. You sacrifice without any attachment to the resolve, because God is sacrificing, not you. So you completely overcome many spiritual pitfalls. And of course, the next step is become universalist. You realize that you are a part of the universe, and the universe is a part of you. You do not belong to any small little part of the universe, but you belong to the whole universe. God is your father and mother, and you are free from any narrowness of the mind, and therefore you look at every man, woman, and the universe, and every atom, a part of the essence of God. The essence of God exists in all of them. Therefore you cannot separate them by gender, by nationality, by race, by religion, but I look at them as the essence of God, and you shatter every narrowness of the mind. If you follow these five steps, of course, the universe, the turning submissive, that you just is the message of Islam. You surrender the desire to God, you become submissive. And the message of universalism came from Baha'i teaching. Baha'i and Baha'i brought the universal point of view to us. So this five step not only helping you to overcome every spiritual pitfall, but also it unifies our religions of the world together, and unifies them all as separate revelation from God, which when you put them together not only helps you to reach true consciousness for the goal of life, but also it helps you to get the commons of life, which is based on the kingdom of heaven on earth, and also it helps you to become enlightened. With following this five step, you become a dynamic spiritual force, which is the sixth level, which we call Paravipras, people that all religions of the world talk about, my elect, my chosen people who will inherit the earth. And that is who we are calling in this mission to come, realize, awaken the spiritual forces, join the communities of life, or create the communities of life where they are, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit their will to God, and become a universalist, so they will become an elect. It is these elects which are the leaders of future of humanity, and these are the people who will create the promise of life all over the world, and eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, this mission not only unifies our religion of the world, it chooses the fastest way to God, it chooses the elect, it brings the kingdom of heaven on earth. It is a huge mission. It is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of God for coming of this mission. And actually, recently, in a couple of weeks ago, somebody wrote to us that our genealogy also is connected to Chinese dynasty. And he is studying how he is adamant that that is the truth. And that is also fulfills the prophecies of the Buddhists and the people in China that are waiting for Maitreya to come from that area. So this is a new thing that has developed last couple of weeks, that they also believe that not only our genealogy goes all the way to King David and Prophet Muhammad, which fulfills for Christians and Muslims who they are waiting for, it also goes and connects to China. And we are working with this person to see what he is will bring for us. And so it is amazing what God has done and sent to us. And you are invited to study these things and ask questions. Be very diligent. Be very deep about this. And study it, question, ask anything you want about this revelation, but eventually be convinced that it is something from God, and dedicate yourself to it and get rid of the ego so you can come and so we can balance of the mind. This is our teaching, this is our claim, this is what God has sent to humanity, that is why we are here, and we can see all the signs also on earth, but humanity will become one and realize that God is the Father, God is our salvation, and come together and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, or we will go to an even greater destruction. Okay, so I wasn't paying attention to text. See what is there. How about counting the Omer? Does he count his Omer? That's it. Can you just say my explain what you mean by Omer? If you want to come, go ahead, just say.
Shalom, Atreya. Yes, to count your Omer is commanded by the Creator, blessed be He, and in the Torah. We are to count 49 days from the second night of Passover. And on the 49th night, we study Torah. This is commanded by the Creator, blessed be He, and to be done by every generation. I was wondering if you counted your Omer.
Well, we follow the recommendation of Leviticus chapter 23. I think we do have that in our teaching. And yes, I think after the Passover, there is 7 weeks, which become 49 days. And after that, there is another day of rest and a special Sabbath. In that day, we read the scriptures of the world. Torah is a part of it. We recommend people read all the religions of the world. As you understand, we are not teaching here Judaism. We are teaching here all religions of the world. So not only we read Torah, we also read New Testament, we read Upanishad, we read Bhagavad Gita, we read Quran, we read Bayan, if you can find it. So we read all religions of the world. So probably you have a point there, but you have to expand yourself and include also other religions, and in that day also bring all those scriptures together and understand our teaching. I don't know if you have been in our website and know about our teaching. If you have not, probably we recommend you to go to know more about what we teach. But we do follow the only place that God recommended His holy days. And that is in Leviticus chapter 23. In that, God says you have to keep these for ever and ever. And that's why we believe we have to follow those, because it is commanded. And also, if we want to bring the unity to humanity, and every culture and nationality follow their own holidays, we're going to have 365 days of holidays. In order to unify even humanity in that aspect, we accept the holy days of God for our days of rest, and that is the Sabbath, which is Saturday, and other days which clearly said by God should be kept forever in Leviticus chapter 23. So we do agree with you. 7 weeks after the Sabbath, or 49 days, there is going to be a special Sabbath. Actually, that is the Sabbath, the special Sabbath, which Christ was crucified on, then rose in Saturday night. So that's in all the teaching. So we do agree what you said, but we recommend you read more than Torah. Okay, we have 1 minute left of time. If you have any other question, let us hear it. I'll release the mic and wait for a minute, and if there is no question, go ahead, Libizo.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if Pal Talk is a good cross-section of what is happening out in the world right now, but right now we have in Pal Talk 4 rooms open in the religious category, a total of 30 people, 7 room rooms in social issues, with 192 people, 110 rooms open an adult playground with 1,970 people. The point is, it seems that the world is going more and more towards immediate pleasure and greed and lust and ego as their main driving forces. And do you think it's going to take something really spectacular, let's say Planet X popping up in the sky and forcing everybody to reevaluate their priorities? Is there any other way to shift public attention away from the way they seem to be going? I mean, I'm sitting here in my office right now and people keep walking in to do whatever they have to do, and they ask me what I'm listening to, and I tell them it's a spiritual teaching. They look at me a little bit strange. And I guess that's the thing that we all get from people when they find out you're interested in spiritualism, because it doesn't seem to be the main thrust of humanity right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably people in Rome, when Christ teaching was preached in that city, were wondering how, with Roman fall of morality and all the things they have been doing in that time, how that can be turned around and become a spiritual people change to a new way of looking things as the follower of Christ was looking at it, the salvation of man and the goodwill to man and purity and discipline and bringing the sexual relationship and pleasure into marriage and community and sacrifice. Well, what we say is strange, isn't it? The thing that we say is absolutely against what is going on earth, but at the same time, God said it's going to happen. And if you read our teaching, He has promised many things, and they did happen, so will they. So our salvation is to realize that God is with us. God has sent His revelation, and of course, also God said one third of the earth will be destroyed, unfortunately, and the devil will be bound and thrown into the lake of fire. And therefore we can see the very things you mentioned is the signs of time that we do need a new revelation.